T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is!
The 9 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. Streaming on the radio.com app. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. #560 on your cell, or you can text us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. But please don't text and drive. So with fall camp coming up for the Canes, UM football enrolls final member of their vaunted 2018 signing class. This updated today by Susan Miller-Degnan of the Miami Herald. I mean, this is exciting, especially in a position you need help in. University of Miami coach Mark Richt and his vaunted 2018 signing class, nicknamed Storm 18, should be collectively beaming right now. So, too, should Hurricanes football fans. The final member of said class, 6'3", 306-pound University of Tennessee graduate transfer Venzel Bulware, who's an offensive guard, is now enrolled and taking summer classes, UM confirmed. That means when fall camp opens early next month, every recruit from the early signing period in December and on National Signing Day should be present, a rarity in college football, as usually one or two or even more players run into obstacles and arrive on campus late or don't qualify. Yeah, especially at a private institution like Miami, you tend to see that happen a lot, right, where you have to jump through some hoops to get certain players academically eligible or enrolled properly. But in this case, man, it could not have gone easier for Miami to get their class in. Susan Miller-Degnan writes, last year, for example, defensive tackle John Ford didn't arrive until August 17th. In 2016, Rick's first season as head coach, former receiver Deontay Mullins, arrived late. The other UM graduate transfer, former Illinois defensive tackle Tito Odenigbo, enrolled previously this offseason. And the final incoming freshman, Miami Carroll City High running back Cameron Davis, also enrolled recently. Bulware, who will wear jersey number 50 at UM, is listed as a redshirt junior and can play immediately because he's a grad transfer. He has 2 seasons of eligibility remaining. A graduate of Union City, Georgia Creekside High, Bulware was rated a 4-star offensive lineman by ESPN, Rivals' scout, and ranked the nation's 11th best guard and 15th best overall prospect in the state of Georgia. Told CanesInsight.com earlier this year that he was recruited by Rick out of high school, as you can imagine Rick being in the area, and when the opportunity presented itself again to be coached by him, and I evaluated the situation, Miami had a hell of a run this season. So there you go. The run that you had last year helped recruiting. For anybody who didn't see that, for the Florida State and Florida trolls who thought that last year's success didn't help recruiting, you know what helped recruiting? Man, I was at that Notre Dame game last year, and the Virginia Tech game for that matter, but especially the Notre Dame game. I never thought I would ever say this, given my virtual lifetime of experience going to Dolphins games and more recently Hurricanes games at what was formerly known as Joe Robbie or Pro Player or Landshark. I never thought that stadium could become the loudest college football atmosphere I had ever experienced. After having grown up in the Orange Bowl, which to me is the former sports facility I miss most, right? I miss the Miami Arena downtown, but I don't miss anything as much as I miss the old lady, the OB. I never thought we could even get close to that, let alone surpass it. But the noise, the reverberations, the vibrations, and I think it has a lot to do with the canopy. right? I think the canopy that they built over what is now Hard Rock Stadium, that traps in a lot of that noise. It echoes a lot of that noise. And when you have a capacity, standing room only crowd like you had for the Crying Irish last year, it made an electric atmosphere. It was sensational, right? It rivaled, if not surpassed, my days growing up at the Orange Bowl. That atmosphere at Hard Rock Stadium. College game day was there that week. You had the buzz of the Georgia Tech game prior, or the Virginia Tech game at home prior, which was a fantastic crowd. Recruits took notice of that, man, whether it was a recruit or graduate transfer, high school kids or kids looking to change programs. They watched that atmosphere. They watched the turnover chain. They watched the electricity of Hurricanes football, both on the field and in the crowd. And it makes people want to be a part of that, right? So for everybody who's been saying the last 20 years, about 10 years since they left the Orange Bowl, for everyone saying nobody wants to play at Miami, they share a lifeless stadium with a professional team, facilities aren't up to snuff, they're trending in the wrong direction. What's been happening now over the last couple of years? Hard Rock Stadium has turned electric. You have Mark Richt and the highest paid assistant coaching staff Miami has ever had, in addition to the highest paid head coach. Facilities are improving. Indoor practice facility is coming this fall. Schwartz Center, new locker room. Dwayne The Rock Johnson paid for the locker room. Weight room is new. I think it was the weight room that he has his name on. Meeting rooms are all brand new. Maybe you don't have Oregon or Alabama's facilities, but at least now you're competitive with some of the best programs in the country, and your stadium looks and sounds fantastic, and the team is actually producing results on the field. So any of you out there who a couple of years ago said, Miami football is dead, you're going to be a mid-level team forever. Well, Julio Frank, Blake James, Mark Richt had other thoughts about that, and it's become very exciting to be a Hurricanes football fan. By the way, earlier in the show, I read that text from our buddy Charles. Like, I love Charles, but he does not like Mark Richt, and I think he's irrational about it. He sent in a critical text about Richt, and I said, well, who do you want to be coaching this team? If you're so critical of Mark Richt, who are we bringing in? Saban, is he coming here? Urban Meyer, he coming here? His answer, Biff, was he wants Lane Kiffin coaching at the U.
Oh, I'm heated about that one. That is no. Lane Kiffin will never see a day in Miami unless he's going to face FIU or facing Miami.
So young Biff on the other side of the glass, he's an FAU student, and he is an Owl fan. What do you call an Owl fan? Is there like a name for it, like a hooter? Like, what are you?
I'm a hootie hoot.
You're a hootie hoot? You're a hootie in the blowfish?
I'm better than that. I'm a hootie hoot. I'm hoot squared.
You're part of the hoot squad. He loves the FAU Owls, and you love you some Lane Kiffin. So as soon as Texter Charles even brought up the idea of Lane Kiffin coming to coach the U, you got hot. You got heated over that.
Oh, he will never do it. First off, he could get better. Mark Rake's a good enough coach there
that Texter is
crazy.
He doesn't
know what he's talking about.
He is crazy.
And Lane Kiffin, after this job, guarantee you in like 2 years when he most likely leaves, he has a 10-year contract, but that's a lot of BS
yeah,
over there.
You think he's staying there for 10 years? No, I got a bridge to sell you.
He's not, he could be making like $5-6 million. He's making barely $1 million this year.
Right.
But he's going to go to a big team. He's going to go. I could see him going after if Michigan gets a job opening. I could see him going there. Yeah. I don't know how long John Harbaugh stays.
Jim Harbaugh, whatever,
same thing.
Most overrated coach out there. That guy is so much flash, so little substance. I mean, Jim Harbaugh. Oh, I'm taking my team to Rome last year. What, do you take them to Paris this year? And he's like disgracing Americans in other countries. Like they're kicking the soccer ball in the middle of or like throwing the football in the middle of the Roman ruins over there in Rome. He's like disgracing all Americans over there in Europe, living up to every cliche. And the guy cannot coach his way out of a paper bag. Urban Meyer runs circles around that Harbaugh. How much money is that dude making a year? Like $8 million?
Yeah, he's the top paid. He's probably the top paid government official in the state of Michigan.
And yet he still buys $15 khaki pants. It's ridiculous.
No, the Jordan brand now makes them for him.
Oh, so he doesn't even pay for his khakis anymore.
Oh, no, he never paid for his khakis.
He used to pay $15 for the Target, like, creased khakis.
Well, you know who should sponsor him if he's really trying to get khakis?
Who?
State Farm.
Oh, the khaki pants guy. What is that guy called?
Jake from State Farm.
Jake from State. Oh, yeah. Nice khakis. And he says it weird. Like, he says it like he's from Michigan. What are you wearing, Jake? Khakis.
Ugh. I'm trying to think of what the wife says.
I think she was like, tell me more. I'm getting hot here.
It was something like that.
She was into it. She was like turned on by it.
No. She said, what are you wearing? He's like, khakis.
Khakis?
Ugh. Something like that after.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Clarence here on QAM. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, what's up, Alex? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I called about the soccer stadium, but I want to say something. You were talking about the old Orange Bowl.
Yes, how I miss it.
Yeah, ain't nothing. Hey, I played high school ball in there from 82 to 84.
Nice.
Jackson High. It's nothing like the OB. That's why we shouldn't have put the Marlins there.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. Like, they tore down the cathedral of South Florida sports to put in that mausoleum that they call Marlins Park.
That's right. It nobody goes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And this is what I was telling your colleague Big O one day. He hard on Jeter right now. Jeter did the right thing. What I mean by you paying Stanton so much money, baseball players come and go. You just got to build up your farm system.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that goes and comes. Lord was no good for Miami. He sucked all the life out of us.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? So you got to give Jeter a chance. I think we're very competitive. Even though we lacking a talent, we still very competitive. But what I called you about was that soccer stadium. You know, the voters been getting, you know, they've been getting, we've been getting the bad end of the deal.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about that? Because admittedly, I am pro stadium, but it's primarily just because I love soccer and I want the team to get the best possible facility. But are you afraid that the people in that Melrose area are going to get the short end of the stick?
No, because one thing that's going to happen, I just want it to be a fair deal.
Right,
I don't want,
right.
You know, they just give everything to Jorge Mars. Don't get me wrong. You know, I know, you know, it got to be a good deal on both ends.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, Alex? So we can gain the land at discounted price, but not for free. You understand what I'm saying? Because we've been, you know, the voters been getting shafted.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, they have to make sure that that there's not a dime of public money going into it. That that they're not leasing the land for a shamefully cheap price, right? Like, I mean, you can't give these guys such a discount that they're getting away with murder.
You can't give it away.
You can't give it away. You're right.
That's all I'm saying, Alex. And Jorge Mars, everything is a numbers game. Laura messed up all the sweet deals. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
So Jorge Mars got to take this one on the chin.
Yeah.
He going to get the stadium. I'm talking about he probably get it at Melrose.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But my point is that will bring jobs. You know what I'm saying? And from what I hear, Melrose, it don't make a profit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear. It's funny you say that because – last week, I said it on the air that I heard that Melrose does not make a profit, and then I got two very angry texters who are probably Melrose club members who say, no, get your facts straight. Melrose does turn a profit. So here's what I did. I texted a source of mine who used to work with the city who would know something like that, and I asked him straight up, does the Melrose golf course turn a profit? And his answer to me was, well, that depends on which financial statements you believe. So that's an extremely murky answer there, right? It just goes to show you they can manipulate the finances to show whatever they want it to show.
And that's what I have the problem with the city official.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Government is supposed to be ran for the people. You understand what I'm saying, Alex?
Yes.
It's for the voters. We pay their salary.
Right.
You know, they get
literally
in and they do all this underhanded stuff. I ain't necessarily talking about Miami. I'm generalizing city officials.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because this happened a lot. You see this underhanded thing they did with Loria. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew the facts of it until he was eating all the cake.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's no good. And that's all I'm saying. Be transparent with all the facts of the deal and give it to him especially if the golf course ain't turning a profit. And they're, like Big O was saying, what they say is some what's wrong with the soil, Alex?
Yeah, the soil is contaminated. So once you take down the golf course, you have to dispose safely and environmentally. You have to dispose of the contaminated soil, and that's very expensive. Right. So somebody's got to pay for that, and it better not be the taxpayer, right? Jorge Mas has got to pay for that, so you have to make sure he pays for that contaminated soil.
And last question I got for you before I go. What happened to the original plan? I thought they were talking about doing it close to Overtown.
Well, what happened was, and let me let you run because we're up against it, but I'll tell you what happened there if you keep listening. So before Jorge Mas came on board, it was Beckham and his original business partners. They bought land at Overtown to develop. But big problem with the Overtown plot is very small, no place to put any parking. I thought that was a big issue there. And then Jorge Mas and his brother, Jose, come on board as investors. And they say, I think we can do better, right? I think we can target something much bigger, much grander scale. And yeah, I'm sure in the back end, Jorge Mas is a businessman. He's thinking, man, if I can also put a shopping center there, if I can put a hotel there, restaurants, an office park, a technology park, I can find a way to profit from this as well. So he's thinking of it both as a businessman, but also I think as a steward of the community. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. New edition of Clickbait coming up next year on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Good choice by you.
Good vibration.
Man, what a talented guy, Mark Wahlberg. He's got the Wahlburgers. One of the best actors out there. I think he's actually last year was the highest paid actor in Hollywood. I read that stat recently.
Because of those Ted movies.
Well, I don't think one of those came out last year, though. I think last year he actually made more money than The Rock making movies.
He does quality movies, too. Not even like The Rock. It does kind of...
Well, he did Daddy's Home, too, last year. I still haven't watched that. I like Daddy's Home Part 1, I thought was funny with Will Ferrell.
When he hits the girl with at the Nets game, that was pretty funny.
That was great, man. I love those Will Ferrell movies. Step Brothers, Semi-Pro, the first Anchorman, not so much the second Anchorman, just in case you were wondering.
The second Anchorman, though, had ESPN, MTV, and all them in the fight.
It had its moments, but...
It wasn't better than the first one, but certain things. I think that fight scene got better. I think like certain things got better in that movie.
I guess I got to give it another chance, but I only watched, like, the first Anchorman, like, everyone, I've seen it 1,000 times. Second Anchorman, I watched it once. I wasn't that impressed, man. It's hard. It's hard to try and top the original when the original was such a great, great film. 56022 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, and get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Before we get to clickbait, I'll take a call, Biff. Who's on line one? Ah, Rick in Carroll City, one of my favorites. How you doing tonight, man?
Donna, how's the family doing, buddy?
Doing so good, although I am so short of sleep because for a couple of weeks we had a lot of great help from my mother-in-law, who has since decided she's got to go back to work. How dare she?
Oh.
So as a result of that, the amount of sleep I get has been basically cut in half.
Well, that's inexcusable on her part, to say the least.
Seriously, I mean, who's got to work at this point, right? She should devote all her time to taking care of my kid.
You can never put a value on the contributions that grandparents make, especially when they're there with you day in and day out, boy.
Exactly.
The best feelings. That's a very special thing. Don, I want to talk about some UM football. I know we're a couple of weeks away here.
Can't wait.
I think it's like 7 weeks, 6 weeks, but get a little antsy here. I noticed we added a couple of graduate transfers.
Yes.
And, you know, in the past, in college athletics, you always used to think, well, the kid's transferring. He's transferring for because there's something wrong. There's something that's not right. And one of the guys I worked for back in the day had gotten Brad Summers as a transfer to go to Ohio State. And the guy really materialized into a solid player, really contributed well, and had a so-so NBA career, but he had an NBA career.
Okay.
In today's world, I mean – the contribution and the impact that one of these kids can make, like a Russell Wilson, you know, or the kid we had a couple of years ago from Colbert. It's amazing.
Right, yeah, Colbert was great. And don't forget, one of the best punters we ever had, Pat O'Donnell, was a grad transfer. Wow. He was sensational.
The Chicago Bear, yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane how, you know, how college football has changed, how college athletics has changed. But you look at these two kids coming in, and I think the value is more critical than maybe even some of the freshmen we have.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because they have a layer of experience.
Right.
Experience that these kids don't have. And a lineup against LSU, I don't care who's behind the offensive scheme, the defensive scheme, it's still LSU, buddy. And you've got to be big up front. You've got to be able to run the ball and stop there. And hopefully these two guys will make a significant impact and maybe it gets contained with the young guys that you have up there. But we definitely need to help the trenches, Donald.
And it's not only the grad transfers. And I know that this guy has been here for a couple of years now. But I look at a guy who was originally at Florida, Gerald Willis. I mean, that kid is like 30 because he's had so many years off for the transfer and a medical red shirt. I think he's a six-year senior. So if nothing else, Gerald Willis, a defensive tackle who is expected to be a really good player because he was very highly touted coming out of high school. And he's a very, very large individual. At this point, like he has enough life experience to double anybody else on the field.
And you wonder what type of impact the new guy we brought in to coach the defensive line is going to have.
Right.
You know, you lose these three kids to the NFL, and it's just like there's a lot of question marks there. But you got to feel good about this kid putting things together, and hopefully it's something that's going to, you know, last the entire season because this is basically Willis' last shot at this.
Yeah, it is.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, his half-brother is the all-pro that plays safety for the Giants who went to Alabama. I forget the guy's name. He plays for the Giants, New York Giants. I forget. I think it's his half-brother.
I did not know that. I'll have to look that up.
No, I think the mom was really, really she's famous for being on ESPN Live on signing day, and when he picked Bama over LSU, she got up and left the table. I think that's...
Oh, I remember that. Do you remember the name of the kid, Biff? He's like raising...
Landon Collins, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
I did not know
that was the half-brother of Gerald Willis, if true. That's big. So. Big if true.
Believe so. But let's see what happens. Hopefully all the new coaches, the new players come together, and we're ready to play in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, definitely, man. I cannot wait, And I can't wait to see that indoor practice facility. I understand like it may not be there right at the start of fall camp, but it's going to be tremendous. I've driven by it enough times to know it's a monstrosity.
And one last thing, Don. I got to say this. You mentioned earlier, you know, how the program has changed so much in the last couple of years. And we looked at the contribution that new administration had, huge impact. I know Donna Schiller did a lot of great things in the community, helped a lot of people, was great with the med school, with Jackson Hospital, et cetera, et cetera. She really never made the athletic program, and in particular, lifeline of the program,
right,
program, as a priority, something that she continued to just go ahead and just do a half-assed job of putting people in there. And to see the transformation in administration plus the contribution of Stephen Ross, and I hate to bring this, but you got to be fair. If he does not renovate that stadium, I don't think they have the same impact.
No, not at all. It's funny, Rick, and let me let you run. But it's funny what he says about Donna Shalala. Donna Shalala, for a lot of reasons, the stuff she did with the medical school really, really helped Miami boost its way higher into the top 50. She did some very good things as university president, but the way that she viewed the athletic program, I believe she wanted Miami's athletic program to be more like something at Wisconsin, where she was previously the president of that university, or even like Stanford, right? Because she wanted Miami to be like an Ivy League type institution, and the athletic program, you'd have some very good teams, but not great teams like Stanford. Where I believe Julio Frank, he wants the athletic program to be like what Miami used to be, at least the football program wants it to be like what Miami was in the 80s and 90s. And to do that in this day and age, you've got to be willing to pay for coaches to get that done. All right. It is time, my friends, to gather around your radios for a new edition of Clickbait.
We know you spend a lot of time online. Well, so do we. Here's tonight's edition of Clickbait on the Alex Dano Show.
All right, Young Biff, before I get to my stories, you have to tell me what is up with that Jenner GoFundMe account. What the hell is this?
So, Forbes put out an article 5 days ago explaining about how 20-year-old Kylie Jenner built a $900 million fortune in less than 3 years.
You mean off the reputation of her sister who did a sex tape?
Yes, but she had a bunch of companies and stuff like that with their cosmetic makeup and all this kind of stuff, as the article puts out.
Okay.
So, if she gets $100 million more, she will be the... for the youngest woman to ever be a billionaire.
Oh, okay. So we should all donate to this cause because that's so important.
So about a couple hours after that article came out, some person on GoFundMe, his name is the Fat Jew, you know, already a great name there, creates a campaign that says, "Let's get Kylie Jenner to a billion."
Oh my God.
And here is the description of it. Kylie Jenner was on the cover of Forbes magazine today for having a net worth of $900 million, which is heartbreaking. I don't want to live in a world where Kylie Jenner doesn't have $1 billion. We must raise $100 million to help her get to a billion. Please spread the word. This is extremely important.
I mean, I can sense the snark and the sarcasm in him saying it, but there are people actually donating money to this.
There are people who donated a lot.
Oh, geez.
I saw this a couple days ago. Somebody donated $500 on there.
Look, you understand that the $500 you donated to make some girl who has $900 million trying to make her a billionaire, that's $500 you could have donated to starving children in other parts of the world, or even in this part of the world.
Yeah, or some kid who needed like a transplant or something.
Right.
Like that.
There are children in this country, children who live in your city, wherever you're from, who have terminal illness, and whose parents are struggling to pay the medical bills.
There's another person who did a donation of $100, then did another donation of $200 within like a couple minutes.
How much money do you think they've donated to kids with cancer, these people?
I mean, with how much they're giving her, hopefully a lot.
I would hope so.
Probably like nothing.
But still, like, even if you did, like yesterday, you donated $1,000 to feed a starving child, and then the day after that, okay, let me now donate $300 to make Kylie Jenner is it Kylie or Kendall? I always get them mixed up.
It is Kylie.
Kylie. So, okay, so I did donate $1,000 to a starving child yesterday. Today, I'm going to donate $300 to Kylie Jenner. You couldn't have just given $300 more to like a kid with terminal illness or a starving child? It's just sickening to me, the society we live in. Clickbait. A man serving a life sentence without parole after being convicted of 2 murders is now running for a U.S. Senate seat. What? Leonard Richards, 75, was convicted of killing his half-sister and of shooting dead his lawyer, both in the 1980s. He is serving a life term at Stillwater Prison in Minnesota, where the law allows felons to run for federal office, but bars them from vying for state-level office. What? The sister of Mr. Stratton told the Star, I think that's one of the people he killed. Oh, yeah, that's the lawyer he killed. The sister of the lawyer he killed told the Star Tribune newspaper that the Minnesota Secretary of State's office could not keep Richards off the ballot. She wants voters to be informed of Richards' history and intends to ask politicians to change the requirements, stating that, quote, even one vote for this murderer is too many, which that's a cause I can get behind, folks. The cause of not voting a double murderer, convicted double murderer, into the U.S. Senate, courtesy of the state of Minnesota. That's a cause I can get behind.
What if he actually has good ideas? What if he has some great things and he could do some great strides, Donald?
So,
come on.
Yeah,
don't judge the book by its cover.
Yeah, have we seen his proposed tax code? Have we seen his foreign policy? What are his stances on the North Korea nuclear situation and the Iran nuclear deal?
You know, that's almost a little bit insensitive right there with the situation.
With
you
the
know,
what?
You were trying to, you almost sounded a little insensitive with using a what could be used as a generic stereotypical Asian accent there with your, instead of a T, using an R.
I really have no idea what you're talking about.
It's all right.
It was not intentional, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was. No.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, my God. But if Kylie is not involved in this, where does the money go? A texter, right? This is a good question.
Well, I don't know if it's one of those things, because I had to talk about this with the person too. I'm not sure if it's one of those things where it's like the Kickstarter programs they do for companies where if they don't hit their goal, they don't make the money back. I think this guy named the Fat Jew is just making money at this point, because if he never gives it to Kylie, then you know he has like $1,901.
So she has got $900 million. If he reaches his goal of $100 million, just keeps the money. Shame on all of us. Radio.com.
Radio.com. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.